Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 12:57 PM, the Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 14th. I thought we'd kick off with gold. It's up $16 today, but more importantly than that, it has finally given us some evidence that it is going to break on the upside. There was a pennant formation forming over the last 6 weeks, and it has now broken the sequence of lower rally highs. There has been a preponderance of upper dynamics inside the range, and it's looking increasingly likely that the next big move will be on the upside. And this is being driven by a number of different factors. The first, of course, is that central banks and governments all over the world are spending money they don't have, and that is obviously something that is devaluing currencies in real time, and therefore bolstering the price of fixed assets whose supply is limited, and gold is certainly one of those. And there's the potential for additional upside, but one thing that I thought was interesting, and it is a chart that I've posted in the past, it's when you adjust gold for purchasing power parity, then what we're presented with is a very clear condition that there was a peak back in 2011. And while the peak in 2011 was a new all-time peak for the price overall, when we adjusted for purchasing power parity, it's around that 250 level where the peak was all the way back in 1980 as well. But on this occasion, the price has not declined in the same way that it did in the 1980s and 90s. Instead, it formed a base and has now completed that base and is rallying back up towards the peaks. I think it is quite likely that we are going to see gold push on to new all-time highs on a purchasing power parity basis. And the next time we have a gold bear market, it might well find support in the region of 250. And I think that we're still in the early stages of the gold bull market. When we look at the performance of gold shares relative to gold miners, well, they have been underperforming, gold miners relative to gold. They've been underperforming for a prolonged period of time, broke on the upside about 3 weeks ago. Now the clear condition here is that there is the potential for additional outperformance. I think one of the most important things in the mining sector right now is that miners are very shy about investing in additional new supply. And that's a good thing because it is lending further credence to the limited supply argument. Then, of course, you have the fact that they have had to sign up for reporting all-in sustaining costs, and that deliberately puts focus on cash flows within their balance sheets. One of the conditions that ensured that they underperformed from about 2004 onwards was that spending went rampant and there was just unchecked spending in right across the mining sector, but particularly among the gold miners, and they underperformed gold prices by a wide margin. What I think is different on this occasion is that they are much more disciplined, and they have the clear potential now to outperform the gold price, which was the reason that people were interested in the gold shares in the first place. But then we also have the continued demand for gold from ETFs, and there is increasing evidence that the demand continues to trend higher, but that there is also a shortage of physical, and that there is certainly, I'm posting an article today talking about the fact that the subcustodians of gold, of the gold physical gold ETFs, are borrowing it from the Bank of England. That raises the potential that there's double counting, but more importantly than that, eventually they're going to have to make good on those claims. And the Bank of England could quite easily ask for their gold back in extremis. Well, one condition, of course, is that some of the custodian banks are really quite weak, and HSBC is one of those. It is right on its lows and has only just barely begun to demonstrate some support in the region of the lows from back in April. Now, when we think about other commodities, well, the continuous commodity index has been steadying, and it retested its low in April, and now it looks increasingly likely that it can do better from here. When we think about what exactly is going on in the global commodity markets, then each of the individual commodities needs to be appreciated on its individual basis. One thing that I think is quite interesting right now, particularly against the background of the increasing tensions between the USA and China, is that iron ore prices have been quite steady. Iron ore is being stockpiled by China, and one has to wonder why. Well, it may simply be because they want to try and get it while it's cheap, and that they're looking at restarting their steel production. On the other hand, considering the continued ambivalent attitude between China and the USA, and increasingly between China and Australia, they may be looking to stockpile iron ore because they're afraid that exports of the commodity will be inhibited. So that's certainly something to I think pay attention to. Oil prices were in positive territory today, up about near, well, just about $2, and firming within this range that's been underway now for the last week. I do think that the low around $20 is the low for this reaction, and that there is clear potential for additional upside, not least because the conditions that got us down to these levels, which was the short squeeze, and certainly are the long squeeze on the one hand, and then short squeeze is what's going on now in the US oil fund. That has now been corrected, so there is potential here for oil prices to rebound. But getting back up to anything approaching $80 is going to be a big ask. Natural gas prices failed in the region of the 200-day moving average and have come right back down to the lower side of the range. This is obviously now an area of support, but I do think that natural gas offers us a good template for what we can expect from oil, and that we are likely to see a prolonged range, and that it will be difficult for prices to rally very much beyond the $60 area, because at that point, a great deal of additional new supply comes into the market. That, of course, means that there is a potential for a 2 or even 300% pickup from trough to peak, but that it's going to be much more of a trader's environment, and we're unlikely to see medium-term trends form. Then when we look at corn prices, well, corn is obviously influenced by demand for gasoline, but it has not rallied to nearly the same extent as oil prices, and was in weak territory now over the last 2 days. It's going to have to do better than that and have some clear upward dynamics to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then when we think about sugar, it has been able to rally. In fact, it has rallied more than oil prices. It has now broken the downtrend from the peak in February and found support in the region of the peak from April, and then did better in here today. So this is somewhere we have some more constructive chart patterns. Copper is often regarded as a barometer for industrial action, and it has continued to hold its sequence of higher reaction lows. So this is quite positive that we continue to see demand for copper rising. What I think all of this is suggesting is that investors, at a minimum, are pricing in the clear potential that we're going to have a very significant infrastructure build once the lockdowns eventually end, in order to try and get economic activity back to an acceptable pace of expansion, and also to employ the legions of people who've lost their jobs. So that is positive for all industrial resources overall. Now, when we look at stock markets, I think it's appropriate to keep an eye on the VIX index, because we had the upside key 3 days ago, the follow-through in the upside yesterday, and then it pulled back from the 40 area in here today. So that has now continued to hold the sequence of lower rally highs. For the S&P 500, it has held at the region of the low from back earlier this month, and this was a reasonably dynamic move on the upside in here today, particularly reversing the initial gap lower. When we think about the Dow Jones, it was flattered today by the performance of Cisco. It's right in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. There's been some consolidation underway for the last few days, and as long as it is holding the lows from back in March, then this is, I think we've in all likelihood seen the low, but that we are quite likely to see a good deal of ranging between now and when markets it can eventually break on the upside. And we could be waiting a while, particularly for the markets that have had the biggest declines. But for those that have had the biggest rebounds and the shallowest declines, well, then their position of outperformance is still really very clear. But they are still susceptible to some additional consolidation. And the Nasdaq was in positive territory today. Now, there is obviously the potential that we're going to continue to march higher, because the trend up from the low in March is still reasonably consistent with a sequence of ranges one above another. But it's right in the region of the peak from February. Some additional consolidation between now and that peak is quite likely. It's a big ask to think that the market is going to go straight through and up to 10,000 and through that level. I think that is just simply too much to ask for in the short term. And that the most likely scenario is that we are going to have some additional ranging. Now, when we think about government bonds, the yield has been really very contained over the course of the last month. The Federal Reserve bought the second fewest number of bonds during this current quantitative easing program today. There is going to be a significant demand on Federal Reserve liquidity, with a number of bonds maturing that have to be refinanced by the Treasury, and also for the additional spending measures. It suggests that the Fed is going to have to increase the size of its balance sheet aggressively as we move on, but they are probably going to be reluctant to do that with stock markets already at or close to all-time highs. The most likely scenario is that they will wait until they have weakness in order to get the best bang for their buck and to not be accused of inflating asset bubbles. But the reality is that that is a real potential that they could quite easily inflate an asset bubble. The other sector that was quite positive in here today were U.S. banks, and not least because the Federal Reserve has stated that they're not going to go into negative territory. Unfortunately for European banks, negative interest rates are basically kryptonite. And the index broke to a new low in here today. It was able to recoup some of the decline, but it's still very weak. And despite the fact that the UK is in the process of negotiating its Brexit deal, it is now outside the EU, but the banking sector is still exhibiting a lot of weakness. There was a quite concerted selling pressure in the European stock market today. With Wall Street bouncing now, then it's likely that the DAX, for example, is going to hold the lower side of this six-week range that's been forming. But we've had a good portion of the rebound already. I continue to think that the easy money has been made. We're going to have to see substantial and clear, more good news to signal that the worst is behind us. Certainly some of the vaccine producers like Moderna continue to trend higher, and they're doing so in really quite a consistent manner. And that has to be weighed against the fact that cases are starting to crop up and reappear in countries that had most successfully clamped down on their infection rates, like Germany or South Korea or China. So this is not a challenge that is about to disappear, and it is probably going to contribute to a long and protracted challenge for economies everywhere, and that is likely to last for at least the next 8 to 9 months until we get vaccines that are freely and widely available. And the manufacturing process is quite difficult. From an investment perspective, despite the fact that Gilead has got the only treatment in the market for the coronavirus, it is having difficulty making any money from it. It's a difficult drug to manufacture. They have contracted with generic manufacturers to get more of it made, but they're going to be inhibited in charging for it. So it is arguable that they may not be able to make any money from it, despite the fact that they were the first to market with a potential treatment for the drug or for the virus. When we then think about where are we in terms of the overall environment, I think the fact that China's government bond yields are rising is something that we do need to pay attention to. We don't have a lot of evidence for government bond yields rising elsewhere. Now, they're coming off of really quite compressed levels. In fact, the lows around 2.5% were all-time lows, to the best of my knowledge. But the fact that we are now starting to see yields rising once more, that does highlight that there are economic challenges in China that are being underreported, and they are really experiencing a rather difficult scenario because the government is afraid of pulling on its traditional levers for growth because it is worried about inflating an asset bubble. But it does need to stimulate in order to support growth. So they're probably going to have to end up doing more. And of course, the weakness of the renminbi is also showing up in that higher yield on the bonds. This looks like a bullish pattern. It looks like the dollar is going to break higher against the renminbi. The dollar today, however, was in mildly negative territory against the majority of other currencies. The dollar index is right at the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last 6 weeks. In order to really question that we're not still in a dollar-dominated environment, it would have to sustain a move below the trend mean. And I think that that is less likely in the short term, considering that the economic challenges that other regions have are more challenging. The Nifty index in India today was in negative territory. It's quite likely to be in positive territory tomorrow. The most important thing that's happened there is that there is a new stimulus package. There are efforts underway to try and preserve the banking sector and to attract manufacturing jobs with new economic zones. All of that could be basketed as medium-term bullish phenomena. In the short term, it's really all down to how well they can contain their exposure to the coronavirus. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.